Web Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to head out to the Open before the day is through. But first, Jake Plummer will be with us. Jake via Skype from San Francisco. He's at the Super Bowl. This ought to be fun. Skyping. If he's like at a war for, I don't know, we'll have some fun with Jake. That comes up at 10:20. Jake Plummer from the Super Bowl. And then Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, because I know you guys love Jimmy's segment when it is all about Super Bowl prop bets and the latest money. What is the view in Vegas from the South Point Casino and Resort? Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us for his weekly segment. We have the TV show tonight as well on Fox Sports Arizona. I saw last night's show. It's pretty good. It's actually really good. Jared Nielsen did a good job yesterday for the first. No, I'm just kidding. He did a good job. He always does a good job. So it was nice. So last night, I'm on the phone with Eric. It's like, I don't know, zero dark 30. I was at Todd Graham yesterday for his breakdown of the recruiting class. We're going to bring some of that to you later on in this hour. Jared was down in Tucson with Rich Rod. Jordy was over at Donny Yantis with Arizona Christian. And then I met up with Jordan over at ASU with Todd Graham. I was invited to the founders' dinner for Arizona State last night and sat with the good people at O'Neill Printing and Chandler Yelton and that crew. And the founders' dinner, guys, it's not a place where athletes or sports guys go to. In fact, ASU had an event last night for recruiting, and I usually go to that. I usually buy a table for it, but I wanted to go to this founders' event, and I've heard all about it. And they honor people that are making a difference at Arizona State. Now, I didn't go to ASU. So I don't have a dog in the fight, but I am very involved in my kid. My oldest son went to Arizona State. I like the people there. They'd like for me to teach there. I don't know if I'm ever going to do it or not, but it was a cool event. And then Derek Hall walked by me, and I saw where Derek was going to be honored. And he gave a speech last night. So the president of the Diamondbacks is up there, and it's fine. Most presidents of sports organizations, I would rather them be out of the spotlight and people not know who they are. But Derek has grown in his role so much so, and I, you know, it's like Michael. Michael's grown in his role over at the Cardinals too. That he was very good last night, and it was a award for him for his accomplishment as an alumni. He was actually a broadcaster at one time, and then wised up and went over on the business end of things. But it was nice to see Derek last night at this event. It's like 800 people, all much smarter than I'll ever be, like molecular science, genetics. Splicing, reinventing the earth. There's 10 planets that are out there type of people. So you're sitting at a table and say, huh? But it was fun. It was really a good time. I like being in that space, being around people that I think it's always good in life to be around people much smarter than you. And that happens to me every single day. So I talked to Eric last night as he was leaving NAU. He went to Flagstaff and was up there for Jerome Sauer's deal. And the thing is, I talk to Eric more than I talk to my wife most days. I have this routine where I call him at a specific time every day because I know that he's already ahead of the game and I want to get further ahead of him. You were just burned out last night. It's like you were just done. Like letter of intent day just sapped you, or what, was it a good time in Flagstaff?
No, like we're talking and it's like 6 degrees outside and it's 10:15 at night and I'm trying to find the Chili's. And I haven't eaten, and you're like
Flagstaff Chili,
and you're like, so the TV show tomorrow, segment 3, block B. What do you want to do in that? I'm just like,
are you
I'm
whining?
Cold.
Or?
No, I'm just telling you the truth.
Okay, you sound like you're whining.
No, it was a great day yesterday. We all love LOI Day.
We love LOI Day,
and I always like going up to NAU. Good people up there.
Nice people up there. Yeah, I mean ASU was great.
Not that ASU and U of A and the other schools aren't nice people.
No,
just we don't get to NAU. Often, because it's in Flagstaff, but when we do, we're always greeted properly.
But so. Here's the thing. We do get to Flagstaff.
We do.
And most people in our industry do not even know that Flagstaff exists other than their summer vacation when they go to the Grand Canyon. And that's it. They're not going to take the time. So it was great you did it. Jake Plummer here in about 10 minutes. I wonder if Peyton Manning is sandbagging it. I'm watching these press conferences yesterday, last night, and even this morning with him. Because they put these guys out there every single day and ask them the same stuff. And yesterday, Peyton starts going on about how he's going to need hip replacement when his career is over and how he's going to need more work done on his neck. And I'm hearing him, and it's either he's run out of things to talk about in terms of Carolina and the pass rush, and it's going to come after him, and is Luke Kuechly going to knock his head off? And he's bringing up stuff like, I'm going to need hip replacement, or is it just simply him in gamesmanship form saying, I'm this old guy and I just can't play anymore. And so that caught my eye yesterday. The Super Bowl prop bets, I'm actually going to save some of these. The latest ones have come out. And Jake's on here in a few minutes. I'm going to run them by him. You can always, there's actually one up on the board. And I'll ask Jimmy about it too, about prop bets. Will the referee have to redo the coin toss? You can put that down at 20-1 in Vegas, like what we saw with the Cardinal game. So that caught my eye. Vince Vaughn is doing a 30 for 30 on the Chicago Bears Super Bowl team from 85 tonight. So one of my career highlights was sitting with the late, great Walter Payton at the Auction Casino down in Maricopa, south of Maricopa, actually. This is when I was still over at KTAR back in the 90s, I think it was. I get a phone call, or actually it was a sales rep that comes down the hall and says, hey, we got a call from this casino, and they have Walter Payton coming in, and they would like for you to go interview him. And one of my absolute passions is sitting across from people and just talking with them and letting them talk, to try to be the best listener possible. So I go down there to do this event with Walter Payton, and I don't really prepare that much for it because I've seen him play and I just wanted to know what would drive somebody to come to this point. And I asked him about his family and, you know, his son was becoming a good football player. And he said something. He said, I am very proud of my son and I hope that I get to see him play a long time. It's kind of an offhand comment. Room is packed with Bears fans. I mean, just packed. And me, trying to be a good listener, didn't pick up on what he was saying. What he was saying, because it came out a few months later, is that he was sick. So, you know, I always think of that when we talk about the Bears and Walter Payton. And it was fun. It was like an hour and a half that I sat there and just went back and forth with him on all sorts of things. There was a couple points in the interview where he got a little short with people on questions. Which is fine in those spaces. Jim McMahon lives here in the Valley part-time. Jim McMahon has reportedly, because I've never sat across from him in this studio and said, are you really struggling with CTE? But there's been numerous stories done on him and some of his health issues. And we'll see him out at the Open, and he's out there playing barefoot, and it's great. I didn't see him this year. William Refrigerator Perry, I heard, was driving a truck. That he's come across financial hard times. We all loved the fridge back then. So Vince Vaughn is doing this 30 for 30 on the Bears tonight. And obviously you have to watch our football TV show, but I get it. And there's lots of choices. And I'm going to watch the Bears tonight with Vince Vaughn at some point. I don't know when it's on, but I know that's happening. Bubba Watson's on my bleep list today. What's his problem? So he rips the course. He rips TPC Scottsdale yesterday and says, I don't like this course. I don't like the layout. I'm only here because I have my sponsors. Was it last year we went through this? There was a players poll that the most disliked player was Bubba Watson. I've never had a problem with Bubba Watson, but I don't need somebody saying I'm only here because of my sponsors because Ping is here in the Valley and then trash the course. What is the point in that? And he says, I'm not going to be PC here. I don't like what they've done. I don't like being here. Well, then don't be here. That was just kind of weird. Is it him trying to do a business move because there's other companies that are courting him for his clubs and hats and all that stuff, the gear? I don't know. It was just, what's this all about? I love the story last night. Eric, did you see this about Bill Self at Kansas?
I did not.
I was going to tell you about this one, but I don't think we could carry it. So last night, Kansas blew out Kansas State in basketball. 18-point lead late in the game, and a player, Brennan Green, went up for a soft two-handed dunk at the very end of the game on Bill Self's team. So he goes, Bill Self called it, he goes over and does the radio, Bill Self does, and says on the radio, it was totally classless. Here was the exact quote, and I can't use it all. Brennan Green, we've put up with him doing some stuff in the past, but that was probably the biggest D-I-C-K move I've ever had a player do during a game. Self said in a radio interview. To dunk the ball like that when the other team, even their players, are going, how disrespectful to the game. It certainly showed unbelievably poor sportsmanship. So he's just crushing his own player. And then it comes out today that this guy has been somebody that Bill Self has been after for a while at Kansas. So I respect the heck out of that. Your own coach calling you out for not respecting the game. I know Mitch Lightfoot over Gilbert Christian, he's going to Kansas. And there's some people that wonder if he's ready to play at that level. I don't know. I hope he does play well there.
Brennan Green played 6 minutes last night. So I don't know his backstory. I do know if you go to practice every day and you grind and you're a walk-on or you're a seldomly used player and you have an opportunity to get out on the field or on the floor and play, it's hard not to be competitive. Just like, you know, like when a team in football is up 42-0 and the third string offense runs the ball down the field and scores a touchdown, like the coach, I applaud Bill Self. I don't know the whole backstory, but it's hard for these kids when they get in and they haven't played and they're all jacked up to tell them, just run out the clock.
Okay, so and I'll just say, and I did read a little bit more about the backstory. This is not the first incident.
Gotcha. I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
This is not the first time that there's been something going on with him.
He should know better. I mean,
your own coach
calling
you totally classless. And
yeah.
It's a
knucklehead move or a D-I-C-K move.
D-I-C-K move by a coach? Come on.
Especially against Kansas State. I mean, I know that's not a big basketball rivalry per se,
right,
but you just want to be on your best behavior.
The Blackhawks are in town tonight against the Coyotes. We don't talk much about the Coyotes until it gets to postseason, and it hasn't gotten to postseason, thus we haven't talked much about them. But the way they're playing this year, they got ripped the other night by the LA Kings. They're 1-for-28 on their power play. I'm interested to see how the Coyotes play tonight. Taze is back. He had a one-game suspension, and that's over in Glendale tonight. Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane as well. I had a conversation last night with somebody whose opinion I trust a great deal about the future of buildings in downtown Phoenix involving the Suns, the Diamondbacks, Arizona, and Arizona State that I want to get to later on in the show after we get through with Jimmy Vaccaro. And I think we're going to have some fun here after Jimmy Vaccaro with Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez. Yesterday, we were at their press conferences about National Letter of Intent Day. And I could sit here and tell you they got this 5-star guy and this 3-star guy, and we do all that stuff. And we don't give out stars. And I know people get wound up about it, and it's fine. It's fine. But I kind of like the funny side of the whole recruiting deal. And Todd Graham and Rich Rod yesterday put on a show. The two of them had some fun, or in Rich Rod's case, he sounded just salty and surly. And in Todd's case, it was just like this random stuff. So we've put it together. Jordan's working on it. And I think we're going to use that maybe after either Vaccaro or at the end of the show. So plenty ahead. James Harden is in town tonight, too, for the Rockets against the Suns. So busy, 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 busy day. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer is next from San Francisco via Skype. Stay with us. And now Jake Plummer with us. Our weekly segment with Jake. He is at the Super Bowl, I am told. And he is Skyping with us, which is very exciting. He joins us now from San Francisco. Oh, that's a nice shot. Where are you?
Yeah, we're out here in San Fran. It's nice and noisy out here.
That's all right. You got your Bronco beanie working for you. I like that. You got your gear going.
Yeah, you know, it's early in the morning. We had a fun night last night. Got in, and so I didn't have time to get my coif ready for you guys.
You're fine. Okay, I'm going to run some Super Bowl prop bets by you, and let's see where you are on this. So these are out of Vegas. Will Peyton Manning announce his retirement in the post-game interview? Yes or no?
You got to give me some odds on that. Is there some odds?
5-1, yes. 1-10, no.
I say no. He's going to come out and say he's the new commissioner of the NFL.
Okay. How many times will Cam Newton do the open shirt Superman motion during the game? Over 2-5, even 1-1, or under 2.5?
I'm going to go over, taking the over on that one.
All right. He's going to go over.
See, he is Superman. He should show us his chest all the time.
Will there be an earthquake during the game? Yes, 10-1.
If Peyton Manning can scramble for a couple first downs, there could be a small tremor, a small register on the whatever you call it there to catch his rumblings and stumblings.
The record,
that's going to be a key to the Broncos winning.
The Richter scale. Peyton running is going to be
scale,
key.
There you go.
Yeah. Will CBS's Mike Carey be wrong about a challenge? Yes, 11 to 10, or no, 2 to 3. You can put money on this.
I'm saying yes, he will be wrong, or he'll make no sense in what he's talking about. But he has the best job in the world. He gets paid to blabber about a call that has been made, and he has no relevance in the outcome or the call, whether it's overturned or upheld. So, yeah. Good luck with that, Mike Carey. Great gig there. Keep that one.
Jake Plummer joining us from the Super Bowl in San Francisco. If Steph Curry is shown on TV during the broadcast, what will he be wearing? A personalized Steph Curry jersey one-to-one or a Cam Newton jersey? Is he all about Steph or is he all about Cam? That's the question.
I think he's going to be wearing an old-school Plummer jersey.
There you go. That'll look good. How many times will the Golden Gate Bridge be shown during the broadcast? Over or under 0.5, meaning at least once they're going to show it. That's got to be more than that.
Over for sure, sure. They're going to start the broadcast with that.
You know, you're right, you're right.
Add some fog. They're the NFL. They're going to add some fog. However they can do it, they'll make sure they add fog. They got power.
All right, a couple more. How many times will John Elway be shown on TV during the broadcast? Over 2.5 or under 2.5?
Over 2.5,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. All right.
That's Mr. Bronco there.
Is Peyton Manning sandbagging? Okay, so I'm asking you this question because it's become a national topic. Yesterday, he's talking about how he needs hip replacement, his neck is hurting, and all this stuff. Is he just that cagey of a guy when Sunday shows up, he's had 2 weeks off, he's going to lay it all out there and ball like we haven't seen?
I wouldn't put it past him to have some strategic plan in place to somehow put the fear of some into the Panthers that maybe, you know, they're afraid if they hit him. It's like hitting your grandpa or knocking an old man over with a walker. They're going to be like kind of tentative to not hurt the guy because he's got bad hips now, I guess. But what's not bad on that body? So he's a little cagey. I think he's a vet. He's going to do whatever he can to gain an edge, and maybe that's it's one of them there.
Jake Plummer joined us from a construction site. It sounds like they're jackhammering on your knee.
Sorry, man.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's live. We don't care. We're having a good time. So when you're at the Super Bowl and you're Jake Plummer, do you get invited to all sorts of ritzy, artsy parties? Do you just go crazy for the next 3 days? What do you do there?
We'll be on the list for a couple parties. You know, I'm with my brothers and my best buddy, Ty, TY2Fly, and we just kind of bounce around. Last night, we stumbled around until we ran into a bar called the Elbow Room, and we saw Pato Bantan, a reggae artist, a really good reggae artist, playing some tunes, and ended up just hanging there, drinking some Red Stripes and hanging out. So we really don't have a plan. We kind of bounce around and let what's happening kind of pull us to that. You know, we'll end up finding the right place, wherever that may be.
All right. When you walk down Radio Row, are you going to be swarmed on because you're Jake Plummer, A, but B, a Bronco quarterback from the past? Are you going to go do that scene today?
I don't know about today, but I'm slated to be on the tune-in for a few hours on Friday. So I'll go sit down there and talk whatever, talk football and overanalyze the game as best I possibly can. I'm going to think of some things that could be important to the game, like, you know, how many times Peyton Manning's going to double knot his shoes could be a real key to this game. if Aqib Talib's going to go with the all white socks, or he's going to have a little bit of blue on there. You know, all the real important stuff.
That's what it comes to when we get to this point.
Oh yeah.
When you see all of the buildup around Cam Newton this week, are you surprised by how the backlash is coming at him somewhat?
I'm real surprised. In the game of football, I think that as a fan, and I know that everyone that's watching is a fan, and if you have an allegiance to a team, at this point, you know, there's Bronco fans and Carolina fans that are still somehow vested in this game. And if you're not enjoying the stage that Cam's going to be on to present his skills to us, then you got to question your fan IQ, because this player, you're not going to see the likes of him. Maybe never again, you never know, but what he can do on the field is amazing, and to hate on him, I just don't understand it. The game's about players performing and raising up to high levels, doing things we've never seen done, and this kid keeps doing it, yet he still has this backlash of people that don't like him because he smiles and chews gum and jumps around and gives the ball to kids in the stands. I really have a hard time with fans that don't like him, because you have to question your really being a fan. If you're a real fan of the game, then you should really enjoy this kid. He's fun to watch.
All right, a couple questions. I'll let you go. Jake Plummer from the Super Bowl. Kurt Warner is going to find out Saturday if he makes it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's a finalist again, second time around. They only take five. Favre's going to make it. I got to believe Orlando Pace is going to make it. Do you think Kurt gets in this year, Jake?
I don't know. I don't think so. He's going to have to wait a little bit, you know, like he did to get into the league. They're going to make him wait a little bit, but he's definitely deserving of that honor. What a hell of a quarterback. What he did, you know, the greatest show on turf there with those guys in St. Louis, Holt and Falk, I mean, that was amazing. And then what he did to come to the Cardinals and take a team like the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl, he's definitely accomplished enough to be considered on that list for sure.
All right, before you go, can you show me the construction guys have been sitting there jackhammering away? Are they around? Does your camera go that way, or they take
They're
off?
Down that way.
They're down
right
that
now.
Way?
Yeah, I don't know. They're done now, of course, because we're done with the interview. So
yeah, tell them thanks a lot. But
they're jackhammering, and then the markets aren't even open yet. It's kind of a backwards place out here, I guess.
Yeah, well, have some red stripes on me and have a good time, okay?
All right, Brad. Hey, thank you. You guys have a good week.
You got it. There's Jake Plummer from the Super Bowl via Skype. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer's segment is becoming fast, one of my all-time favorites of anything that we do, because I just never know. Last week he was in his truck in a parking lot after a yoga class. You can't script. I should have asked him if he's doing yoga up there today. Like, what is that? Hot yoga, I think is the deal? That's not my thing, but thanks to Jake Plummer. Sports360AZ.com. We're back with more after this timeout. Now to cap things off and getting ready for the Super Bowl, of course, we'll finish up with Jimmy Vaccaro from South Point. You've got to get into South Point when you get to Vegas and see Jimmy and lay down your bets. I know it's going to be jam-packed for you this weekend. As we're sitting here today, who's the money coming in on, Jimmy? What's the scene in Vegas?
Well, my friend, the chatter has been on the Denver Broncos the last 48 hours. As everybody knows, follows this stuff, the first 80% of the money came in on the Panthers, which pushed the line from 3.5 clear up to 6. Now we're settling down where there's been some substantial Denver money in the last 24 to 48 hours. We're at 5.5, like a lot of books in the city. And I can tell you this, my friend, if we don't exceed the record this year, I'll be disappointed, because the action, the activity has never slowed down since we found out who was going to go there. So I can tell you this, it's going to be crazy how it winds up. 3:30 on Sunday, anybody's guess is as good as the next guy, but I can tell you this, it's going to be crazy.
Okay, so are we seeing the prop bets this year? You alluded to a couple of them last week you were thinking about. Are you seeing a couple that really jump out at you that you like, that you think this is kind of fun, this is kind of unique?
Well, we're having fun with, like, will there be an aggressive punishing the quarterback penalty with the helmet? We're seeing a lot of action, as we spoke last week, small tickets on whether Peyton Manning will finish the football game. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk now. He might retire. So that one's been the fun one. We're getting a lot of small tickets on that one. And, you know, Brad, as we're sitting here talking, I was behind the counter yesterday, and it was a steady stream of people the entire day walking up to the counter with their sheets in their hand and having fun and laughing and giggling. And the average amount of tickets that you bet between $10 and $30 from the mainstream America guy is about 8 proposition bets. They like it. They know that they can understand it when it's explained to them for the first time. They know that they can be rooting the entire game for a simple, you know, one more yard I need to pass this, or one more interception, right, I can win this. So it's been fun.
You talked earlier about the all-time record. What's the number that you think you're going to exceed on Sunday?
Well, the record is 119 million 2 years ago, and just the early indication from talking around with the guys in the city, I think we should beat that. It's great sideline stories, obviously, with the older guy on Denver, the new young whippersnapper on the Carolina Panthers. There's a lot of sideboard there. And also remember, Brad, this is unique. The world takes about 99% of the money. We're only about 1% of the total handle on this game. As you can see, this is a worldwide event, and it gets bigger and bigger every year.
Before I let you go, what do you think is going to happen in the next 48 hours in Vegas before kickoff? 72 hours.
Split money. Yeah, we go to plus six, and I think there'll be plenty of Denver money. Plenty of Denver money on the tourists just wanting their team to win. That's like, give me Denver on the money line. I see a lot of parlays with the Panthers and over, thinking that the old Denver defense might have trouble stopping this kid. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I don't know who we're going to need Sunday afternoon, and I don't think anybody else does either.
I'll let you go off that. Jimmy, thanks as always.
All right, pal.
Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. Good to catch up with Jimmy. So yesterday, Todd Graham, I was at his press conference, and ASU's class has 10 freshmen, one sophomore, seven juniors. Seven of the student-athletes, mid-year signees already on campus. They went in out to 11 states, and Eric, you had a note on this too. ASU went to 11 different states, so they had three kids from Arizona, three from California, three from Texas, two from Missouri, one from Australia, this punter, Florida had one, Louisiana one, Nebraska one, Oklahoma one, Oregon one, and Virginia one. But you were telling me up at NAU, the coaches were talking about, so I didn't ask Todd this. This is a really good note. What was Jerome's deal on the number of players?
Jerome Sowers, the head coach at NAU, and his staff evaluated over 31,000 different players in this class and put over 25,000 different players into their database.
And I would wonder what that's like for ASU and U of A, because the talent pool for ASU and U of A has got to be smaller than NAU's, right?
I mean, yes.
You're going for the elite,
yes,
right? And so, and it's no disrespect towards NAU. It's just Jerome is going after the 6 foot offensive, the 6'1" offensive lineman, the 6'1", 235 offensive lineman.
Yeah, that was the theme of their class. They want skill and speed more than size. So instead of going after the 6'4", 295 pound guard, they're just as happy getting the 6'3", 260 pound guard.
Sure. Well, you know, what was interesting to me is Todd yesterday was talking about, this quarterback that they landed in their class, Dylan Sterling Cole. And I get these fans that are saying, ask him if, because when Todd talked about him, he was raving about him. And most times, I've yet to be at a letter of intent day where a coach looks out at us and says, this guy's a stiff, he can't play dead, and I don't know why he's here. And yet, if you go back and look through recruiting classes year after year, there are guys that can't play dead, that are stiffs, that should have never been offered. It just happens. For whatever reason, they get homesick, they get hurt, they evaluated the player. Kid acts like a knucklehead off the field, and they get blown out. That happened with some of Todd's players last year on his class last year. But he was talking about this quarterback, Dylan Sterling Cole, and I asked him, I said, so fans are wanting to know, this was after he'd already evaluated him to us, are you going to put him in the quarterback competition for this year? And he said, absolutely. So when I heard that, it's, now, is that just coach speak, A? That was one takeaway that I had, is that he's putting him in the quarterback competition this year that already is pretty darn crowded. If you throw Brady White and Manny Wilkins and Bryce Perkins into the mix, that's four quarterbacks. But he's talking about Dylan Sterling Cole's ability to throw the ball down the field. So there's that. The other thing that he said that was interesting is he believes his staff is better now than the staff that finished the season. Now, I think I get what he's saying. He said he's going to come up here and sit in with me on the TV show. So I want to talk to him further about that.
Is it really necessary to say something like that, though? Can't you just let, regardless of if that was intended to be a shot or if he was just being transparent and honest, can't you just let that go?
Well, but
because clearly there's some hurt feelings. I mean, there has to be.
Well,
Graham lost, what, 5 or 6 assistants?
But let me go back on that. I would agree with you, but if you look at what happened, all those guys left to be either head coach, coordinator, so they got an increase in their position.
Or a lateral move.
Yeah, Jackie Shipp,
yes.
You know, that was a family, yes. Supposedly, family mm-hmm. move. I mean, you can spin it any way you want. I don't have truth serum when I'm there. But look, his staff at the end of the season, Mike was already looking around at jobs. So he couldn't have been as focused as he needed to be. It's not a shot at Mike. That's what happens in the industry. You're starting in mid-season. You're actually starting the year before. Now, I talked to Mike a couple times that if you ever want to brush up on your getting rid of your uhs and your nos for media stuff, let me know.
And I'm guessing Mike probably plateaued to where he was
no
going to be at ASU.
But so for Todd to say the staff is better, what's he going to say? And he was peppered about. Chris Cartman was all over him at the beginning about the staff. Jeff Metcalf was asking about the staff and the staffing stuff. So what's he going to say? Yeah, it's a real shot. He did talk about how it hurt their chances with some guys and how they had to scramble to keep some guys in place with everybody leaving. There's no question. Even at the ASU Founders event I was at last night, people were asking me, what's going on with Todd Graham? There's no question that in a year's time, perception is not always reality, but when you lose that many coaches and then the team didn't play well in the bowl game, there's going to be people that are asking questions. Do we have that bit yet, Jared? Is that in place? We don't have it yet? Okay. Maybe the next segment. He also talked about N'Keal Harry and the impact that he's going to make at wide receiver. And, of course, you know, all these guys, I was the guy in the room that said, is this guy just a raw talent, this defensive lineman that they had landed? JUCO kid that Jason is aware of, Christian Hill. And he said, yeah, he's really raw. And so let's not sit here and have great expectations for somebody. He's somebody that is going to need a lot of time. You don't just plug these guys. I know you fans want to see all these guys plug in, and today you're geeked up and psyched up. But that was a takeaway for me from Todd yesterday is it was a class of speed. Every time you add a quarterback, you should add a quarterback in every class. There's no way that all these quarterbacks that are sitting here right now, that all four of these guys are going to be here. There can't be a chance that they're all going to be here unless you move them in position. It's kind of like Colton Gerhardt. They moved him in position. He was a baseball kid. And then Jack Smith. So Tracy Smith's son, Eric, you know the backstory on this. He's
going to go to ASU. He got a late scholarship offer. He was committed to NAU. And when I got to NAU, they had all their paperwork in except for Jack Smith. Turns out Jack Smith got an offer at the last minute to play safety at ASU. He's being recruited at NAU as a quarterback.
Is he going to play baseball because he's a baseball
kid? To be determined. I don't know if he's going to play for his dad, Tracy, over at ASU.
So that's part of ASU's recruiting class. He was like 8 or 9 short yesterday of numbers available. So Jack Smith from Mountain Point High, that was this morning. You were up there last night. He hadn't signed. This morning it comes out that the quarterback at Mountain Point is going to ASU as well. Now, Jared was down in Tucson, and Rich Rod was salty. I was following Jared on Twitter. It was funny. Rich was being salty, Rich Rod. I guess in the next segment, right, we're going to hear from both Todd and Rich on the other side in a couple minutes about things that have some to do with recruiting and some not. Their letter of intent day spins. That's next. We're going to head out to the open later today, see what Bubba Watson's problem is. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be just sloppy out there on Saturday. Temperature is supposed to be pushing 80. So you know that it's going to be 16 and 17 and 18. Are you going this weekend, E? You going to run out there?
I'm going to try to get out there on Sunday.
Are you?
Before the Super Bowl. Yeah. I've got some friends in town that want to go. So.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a good time. I'm going to head out there today and been invited to go to a couple places. And there's so much business going on out there. And it's like, I'm here to watch golf. Well, no, through the years, it's changed. I'm here to do business and talk some sports. It's fine. Before we get to Rich Rod and Todd from yesterday, I love this story. Defensive tackle Shavar Manuel flipped from Florida to rival Florida State on signing day Wednesday. Turns out it was a strategic move 2 weeks in the making that the Seminoles were well aware of, according to a Florida State assistant coach. Recruiting is so sleazy. 6'4", 280-pound, 4-star recruit from IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, Shavar Manuel, had been told, according to defensive ends coach Brad Lawing, who coached at Florida, by the way. This guy coached at Florida in 2013 and 2014 to, quote, play the game, end quote, and, quote, tell the damn Gators anything they want to hear. So, Manuel, the 72nd-ranked player in the nation, committed to Florida on January 5th. Shavar had told me the night before, I'm a Seminole, and then he committed to Florida, Lawing said during FSU's annual signing day party. I called him up, asked what's going on. He said, I'm just getting some pressure from people. So he didn't just flip tonight. We've known about this for about 2 weeks. Florida State coach Jimbo Fisher told The Game. How many stations in the country are known as The Game? Or the Beast, or
dozens.
The Animal, or the Ball, or told the game in Orlando that he wouldn't define Manuel's flip as choreographed, but said the Seminoles felt very good about their chances of picking up the defensive tackle. He always wanted to be here. Shaver inked his on Long's advice at his house in private, away from the influence anyone beyond his family. So the line coach goes over there, pulls him out, says, "You got to get away from everybody. Let's go sign this." This sounds like under the goalpost stuff with Al Davis. He was good to his word, and so he's pumped to be at Florida State. Our coaches did an outstanding job of building personal relationships, some of which 2, 3, or 4 years old relationships. It really doesn't matter where we rank. I want to rank the classes after they leave. That's just kind of, I'm sure everybody's, like N'Keal Harry, I heard at the very end, they're making a push on him. ASU was making a push on the very end on this wide receiver that ended up going to U of A. But the Noles knew for 2 weeks, so this kid for 2 weeks played Florida.
Happens. Probably happens a lot more than we hear about.
Probably happens
about
a lot more than we hear about, but can you imagine being in that profession where I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, just kidding, I actually loved her. And you've put in hours on phone calls, and your livelihood is based off, because Florida probably stopped recruiting guys because they already had this kid in the bag.
Yeah, maybe at the last minute, you can see probably a lot of these schools at the last minute just take off the gloves and play dirty. They play nice, and then as the sand is ticking down to the end in the time glass, it's time to go, and they try to do whatever they can to get these kids.
Was it the Nevada coach that was
bad-mouthing ASU?
Yeah, bad-mouthing ASU. Yeah. You're at Nevada, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just, you're not at a Pac-12 school. But here's the thing.
The dangers of social media.
But Eric, did you notice yesterday? I did. Oklahoma makes it into the Final Four. They were ranked 20th. And I'm not all about scout and rivals and all that stuff as the end-all of end-alls, but they were ranked 20th. So is the Big 12, and I keep hearing the Big 12, within a couple of years, I don't think the Big 12 is going to be around. I think we're going to go to 3 power conferences. I think the ACC eventually is going to go away. I think the Big 12 is eventually going to go away. I don't see this Power Five lasting much longer.
Well, a lot of the problems that Oklahoma has is they used to own Texas, and now you have the Baylors and the TCUs and the University of Houston.
Texas A&M is a
Texas
SEC
A&M
school.
And UT made a huge push at the last minute and ended up with a great class. They landed a bunch of guys, a bunch of 4-star kids at the last minute.
But so, if you're in the Pac-12, Oregon did not rate very high. And if you look at, again, Oregon usually kills it, usually crushes it. They didn't. Stanford did.
Usually don't, which is interesting. Stanford usually doesn't really care about the stars. They have a certain type of player that they recruit. And this year, they not only got the type of player that they recruit, but they also got some 4- and 5-star kids.
Well, they must be getting serious. I mean, they hired Jordan. Come on.
Well, Stanford didn't hire Jordan.
Well, scout.
Scout. Thank you.
From Jordan Hamm, from our team that you see here, Jordy, gets hired last week by scout to cover Stanford here in Phoenix. Not just in Phoenix. He's the national guy for Stanford. I don't know how tough a job that is, actually. It kind of sounds like a scholarship gig. It's not like you're digging around. The talent pool to go to, I could see Jordan being thrown into that mix. He's a Stanford kid that went to ASU. He's very bright. So yesterday, Todd Graham and Rich Rod, we were down at both places yesterday, as well as Arizona Christian and up at NAU. And Todd and Rich, here's the goofy side. We put together this little bit of, it's not all about the serious football stuff. Here's Todd and Rich yesterday, some snips from their press conference.
Patrick, how do I word that?
You know, nowadays official visits are almost after the fact. You know, kids are just taking trips to take trips.
Obviously, you can see his pedigree was an All-American. Yeah, I think Patrick's added some fun facts down there. He likes photo shoots and loves life. So we're just trying to liven it up this year a little bit.
I think the whole model needs to be blown up, and that's my opinion. I think, you know, having these dog and pony shows on signing day.
He loves the physicality in football and a guy that I'm really excited about. And then he has a pet rabbit named Chestnut. So
We tell the ones, if you're not sure, don't sign today. You don't have to sign today. You can wait a month or two. But when you have a hard, true, and fast day like this, I think it forces some things to go crazy in the last 2 weeks, and that's frustrating to everybody. I think it's frustrating to the players and their families. I think it's frustrating to the school.
Am I saying this right? His fun fact is his nickname is Ice Cream Petey. Is that right, Petey?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to make sure I get that right.
Yeah, did we release? We're not having a spring game. It's kind of a, I know it's kind of a downer. Everybody's looking to watching, you know, third string, fourth string guys play tag and quarterbacks get touched, and you know, it's nobody wins. Boy, that's really exciting.
Karan's going to have a great impact for us as far as a guy that can really be versatile and play a lot of positions and impact the quarterback. And he loves Drake. Yeah, I knew that. I knew Drake. I listened to Drake. You didn't know that? I knew who Drake was.
No, we're not going to have a spring game. And reason is that just because I don't really want one. I'd rather just teach him and coach him.
This young man, you can see down at the bottom, his fun fact, he almost dislocated my shoulder when I shook hands with him. And I was upset about it because I wasn't, our coaches knew that he shook hands like that, and I wasn't prepared. And so I felt like we could have been a little bit more prepared for that.
Yeah, and there's just a little bit. And there's plenty more on that, by the way, from Todd. I asked Todd about the best place he went to eat. And you guys are like, aren't you asking about the 4-5? No, I'm not asking about the 4-5. He goes in all these homes and he gets fed like over and over and over. Understand the recruiting process. These coaches come into the house. So they eat like they're offered like a trough, like a bag over a horse. They're just offered food all the time. And Todd went on this rant about this place that was shellfish down in Louisiana that he goes to or something. So kind of fun stuff there. You got to liven up recruiting day, because if all I'm going to do is sit here and talk about a defensive lineman's technique for 45 minutes, I'm done. This is half the fun. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We actually have a lot more on the serious end tonight from Coach Graham and Rich Rod, too. Jared and Jordan and Eric are all going to be on the TV show tonight talking about the respective spots that they stopped at yesterday with ASU, NAU, U of A, and ACU. We'll get into that. And also Jake and Jimmy Vaccaro, if you missed any of that as well. Thanks for being with us.